Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now on Masechet Makot Daf Chaf Bet Amud Aleph at the bottom. And as promised, we have finished with the section of the third parak that listed all of the violations that potentially could lead to Makot. And now we're going to deal with the process, the mechanism of Makot itself. We have several Mishnayot looped together here. Kama Malkinoto. The first question is, how many Malkot does a person get? And by the way, as you can see, the word makot and malkot are treated somewhat interchangeably because both words are used in the parsha, and also a little bit of play on pen v'nikla achicha leinecha is also a bit of a play on that. Kama malkinoto arba'im chaser achat. When the Torah says 40, it really means 39. Shneimar b'mispar arba'im. And again, as we saw Rabbi Akiva do on the previous podcast, we're playing a little bit fast and loose with the syntax. Meaning a number that approximates 40. Minyan shu samuch le'arba'im. Rabbi Yehuda omer arba'im shlemot ha'yaloket. No, who loket? No, you get the real 40. Now, ve'chan loket ha'yitera is a question that presumes knowledge of the next piece, which is that the makot have to be threefold, meaning they have to be presented in a multiple of three. So it can be 3, 6, 9, etc. And therefore you'd get 39, it would be 13 sets. However, if you get 40, that means there's going to be one surplus. So where would that surplus be hit? Because we're going to find out where the three are in some sort of a sequence. Ben Ktefav, between his shoulders, which is not where one of the other 39 would be. We'll see a pasuk about that. Enom dinoto ela b'makot haruyot lishtalesh. That the doctor has to estimate how much he could take and has to be a multiple of three. Amdu l'kabel arba'im v'lokem miktzat. Let's say he was estimated to get 40 or 39. He got some of them, and then v'amdu she'en yachol l'kabel arba'im. And then they said, you know what, he can't take 40. Patur, he's finished at that point. Amdu l'kabel shmonasre. Let's say they gave him a lower estimate, like 18. Shlaka amdu shu yachol l'kabel arba'im. And after he started, they said, oh, he's stronger than we thought. He could get all 40. Patur, he is exempted for 18. And so, in other words, it's lenient in his favor both ways. Now, my Tama, why is it that we say 40 means 39? Iktiv arba'im b'mispar, if it said 40 by number, hamin arba'im b'minyana, meaning you count 40. Hashtiktiv b'mispar arba'im, and again, playing a little bit fast and loose with the makom v'yatnachta and the pasuk, minyan shu sokemet arba'im, meaning it's a number that completes the 40. So if you think about it, 39 is the end of the fourth tens of counting. Amarava kama tipshoi shar inshi dekaim mikame sefer Torah velokaim mikame dgavaraba. Points out something interesting. He said people are so foolish. They stand up in front of a sefer Torah, but they don't stand up in front of a chacham. The Torah says 40, and the Rabbanan came along and made it 39. Is he saying it from a perspective of gratitude? People should stand up and say, oh, rabbis, you're more favorable to us than the Torah. Out of that appreciation, we should stand up. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Arba'im Shlemot, he says, Amar Yitzchak, Maitam Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda say 40? Dichtiv, Ma Makot Ha'ele Ben Yadecha, V'mar Asher Huketi Beit Mahavai. So we see in Zechariah, towards the end of Zechariah, he talks about being hit between his hands, which is not a place that Makot normally happens. So there's got to be a 40th. For Rabbanan, what do the Rabbanan do with that Pasuk? That's referring to punishing, chastising like you would a stool child, but not formal makot and mating. And of the elab makot aruyot, that we only do a threefold. Laka in lo lakalo. It was said at the end of the Mishnah that if he started getting makot, and then the doctor said he can't take as much as we thought, then he's done. But let's say that they estimated him for a greater number, and then they reassessed him before he got anything, he still has to get the lower number. Where Minu watched the challenge, Amdu lakabel abayim v'chazruvi, Amdu she'en yachol lakabel abayim. At first they said he can get 40. Then they said, no, we reassessed him before he got anything. And he said, last, patur. He's exempt. And again, the flip, they said he could get fewer. Then they said he could get more. Patur. If they assessed him for today, and they said, today you could get 40, and then they looked at him again, and they said, no, you know what, he really can't. Then he's patur. But if they assessed him, they said, tomorrow we could get this, and they rechecked him tomorrow, and it turned out he was stronger or weaker, that's a valid assessment, and then he has to get that new number. Okay, the next piece is, Avar ve'ra she'esh ba'shnei lavin. It's a very short Mishnah, a very short piece of a Mishnah, and a very short Gemara. Let's say, as we saw in the previous section of the Perek, he violates a law that has several consequences to it. So, for instance, he is choresh b'shor v'chamor together in kilayim field on yontif. So he's going to get several malkot. So amdu amedachad, if they gave one estimation, they assessed him at once, lokeh patur, he gets whatever he gets, he's patur, he doesn't have to do the rest. If not, then he, let's say they assessed him and they said, okay, for one of them he can get 39. He gets 39, he heals, then they come and they reassess him for the next set. But we have a brayta that says we don't do one assessment for two lavim. In other words, we do each one separately. So if they assessed him for 41 or 40 or 39, then that's only for one, then they can reassess him. But if they assessed him 41, remember, can't get 41, he's got to be 39. So that's still going to be within the range of 1. But if they assessed him for 42 or more, then that's the larger assessment. And then, once he gets some, he's off the hook. Okay, the next is several Mishnayot together describing the method of Malkot. Ketzad Malkinoto, how is it done? Kofesh Deyadav Alamud Helach Velach. They take his hands and they tie them on a pole on both sides, so his hands are tied together. Chazar HaKneset Ochez Bivgadav. So the Shamish takes his clothes and he rips them. The purpose here is to expose him, not so much for the indignity, but for the lashes. Im Nikru Nikru, Nifrimu, if they were torn, if they were shredded, whatever happens, happens. The exact same wording that we use in the case of Sota. Achim Magalat Libo, until his chest is uncovered. Again, the same Lashon of Sota. Va'evan Etunam Yacharav. And there's a rock in back of him that Chazar HaKneset Omed Alav stands on that rock, so he has some height. He has a whip in his hand. Shall egel kfula. It's made of calf skin, and it's doubled. Echad shtayim shtayim le'arba. So it's doubled and doubled over again. So there's four. Ushtei rotzot shall chamor alot v'yordot pan. Inside there are two whips that are made of donkey skin. We'll see what the reason for the symbolism here. And when he hits, they flip up and down, and that's what really hits him. Yada tefach. The handle is one tefach long. V'rachba tefach. It's one wide. For Sham Magat al Pikreso, and the tip has to be able to reach all the way around to his chest. From the back, whip around to his chest. And he hits him one time in front, two times in back. That's why it's threefold. The felon is not standing or sitting. Elamute, he's leaning over Shemar. The Shofet make him fall. He uses one hand, and he gives it with all his strength, but only one hand. Va'korei, in the meantime, there's another member of the Beit Din who is reciting. What does he recite? Himlo tishmor lasot to call mitzvot ha'ela, it called v'me'ela, which remember is Bishmor's pasuk for makot. Yifah adonai makotcha v'mukot zorecha, v'chozer t'chilat mikra, then he goes back to the beginning of that parasha, shvartem et divrei ha'brit hazot, this is in Nitzavim, and then, v'chotem v'hurachu michaper avon, and that pasuk, which itself has 13 words in it, v'chozer t'chilat mikra, and if need be, he'll go back to the sequence and read it again. If the fellow dies while the fellow is whipping him the prescribed number, then he's patur. But let's say he added even one whipping, one whip to the prescribed number, and the fellow dies, or is a golal yado. Then he goes into galut. Let's say that the felon began urinating or defecating, rei is defecation, then patur. He's already exempt because he's already been undignified. If a man urinates, not a big deal. That's not called being disgraced. But if a woman is, yes. But a man defecates, then that's it. Okay, now my Tama. Let's take a look. What's the reason for this last piece? Mishum nikla. Because the Torah says, don't hit him too much because he will be disgraced. So once he's disgraced, then that's it. How do we know that the whip has to be of a calf? And what's the next pasuk? Which we already used for several other halachot. Well, that juxtaposition. It's see that any lav that gets makot has to be dumya the lav de chasima. Has to shomaisa, not bintaklase, etc. And now we're going to have Rav Sheshit quoting from several generations back. Rav Elazman Azariah, he never met Rav Elazman Azariah, that's for sure. But he's quoting several drashot that he has based on the same principle of smuchim, of two things being next to each other in the Mikra, teaching you a lesson. If Yavama falls before a fellow who's disgusting, he's got boils, Shein Chosminota. How do we know that we don't muzzle her up and force her to accept the Yibum? She could say no. And what's the next pasuk after that? Keshuachim Yachtav and the parsha of Yibum. So we lo tachsom shor b'nishoh both works for what's before it for makot and for what's afterwards for Yibum. Have sheshem reshum abalaz v'nazarya. Kolam vazeta mu'adim kilu oved oved avodat kochavim. If somebody disgraces mu'adim, doesn't treat them right. Something mechalav, it just doesn't treat them right. It's like doing avodah zarah. Dichtiv Elohim asecha lo tasalach in the parsha of the second brit. After the Hashem forgave us at the Masei Aigel, says don't make molten images to worship. What's the next pasuk? Chag HaMatzot Tishmor. So if you don't keep Chag HaMatzot properly, it's like you've made an idol. Anybody who speaks Lashon Hara, v'chol mekabel Lashon Hara, accepts it, v'chol meid edut sheker, or who testifies falsely, in other words, he speaks false things, ra'ui lahashlichol leklavim, he should be sent to the dogs, dichtiv, ha'kelav tashlichunato, at the end of Shmor Chapet, about a treifa. What's the next pasuk? Lo tisa Hashem Hashav. Don't accept Karibe Nami Lotasi, don't accept, and the way we're going to read Lotasi, don't also be the one to generate false reports. So the connection. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Mishnah said Shtei Ritzuot, and we said Shal Chamor, that the two in on the inside of the donkey. Kedari Shahugli Law, later of Chista. This is something that we find quite many times. It was a Galilean, perhaps the same anonymous Galilean or a different Galilean, who gave a drasha in Rav Chisda's Beit Midrash. What was that drasha? The ox knows who owns it, and the donkey knows who fills its trough, but Yisrael doesn't know. The one who recognizes the trough of his master, the donkey, should come and take vengeance from the one who does not recognize Evus Balav, the one who violated my law, does not recognize where all the brachot come from, and violated the law. He did it amazing. That's why he's getting makot. So the chamor should be there to sort of testify against him. Yadat tefach. So we said that the handle is a tefach. It's a tefach wide. And it has to be able to reach around to his stomach. Now, of course, people are different sizes. So it sounds like they make different size whips for each person. So you're going to have tons of whips around the Beit Midrash. Around the Beit Din. Alama Ravi said, Avakta itle. They have rings. Kiboy maktirbe, kiboy marpabe. You can tighten it or loosen it. They would have rings to make the whip longer or shorter. Okay, so based on the guy's girth. Malkinoto, that he has to be leaning over. Ananimili, so this is actually asked in the Mishnah of Kana, the Makra, vipilo ashofet vikaul fanav kadevi shatob mispar. But this also tells us something else. Hikau lefanav, he hits him in front of him, and kedei rishato in the plural. Rishachat lefanav, shte rishayot me'acharav. Okay, one risha in front, two in back. So for every one in front, there's two in back. Ein malkinoto, we have him leaning over. Chistam Rav Yochanan, minam ritzua shehi muchpelet. How do we know that the ritzua is doubled over? Shtemar vehipilo, and it's as if it said vehichpilo. Vehipilo means to have him fall. But we need Vipilo to tell me that he has to be leaning over. So say leaning over in another phrase. My Vipilo, why have him fall? Shmamanatarti to allude to Hichpilo, to double it over. Okay, Amakem Makebiado. He hits with one hand. Tanarabon, Ein Mamidin Chazanin, Ela Chasere Koach, Vitire Mada. So the Chacham say that the Chazan has to be somebody who's not that strong and somebody who's very aware. He said even the opposite. If they're not all that aware and they're very strong. So Rabbi says, I think Rabbi Yehuda is right. Lo Yosef Pen Yosef. You can't hit him extra times because you might hurt him. If you say like Rabbi Yehuda that they're not that aware and sensitive, that's why you have to warn them not to hit him too much. If you think they're very sensitive people and not unaware, why would you have to warn them? So what's the Rabbanan's answer? In Mazar Zin El Mazuraz, we only remind people who are worthy of reminding and who will accept the reminder. So it dafka is people who are knowledgeable and aware, and we're reminding them, be careful. Tanuk shumakbia makbia b'shtei adav. When he lifts up his hands with a whip, he lifts up with both hands. Shumakeh makeh b'yado achat. But he hits with one hand. Kiechad aleita midideh. So it should come from his power. Okay, akorei, we said that the fellow reciting recites the psukim. Tamvanon Hagadosh v'dayanim Kori. The eldest of the dayanim is the one who recites the psukim. Hashenimo, now the second one in stature counts makot. Shishio merakeo, and the third one says hit him. Pizman shemakam ruba, if there are a lot of makot, ma'arich, then he does the psukim slowly. Pizman shemakam uetet, if there's few, mukatzer, he speaks quickly. The idea is to finish the recital as he finishes the makot, the recitation. Anan tanan choset chatamikra, but our Mishnah said, if you finish, you go back to the beginning. The answer is mitzvah latzamtzem. Ideally, you don't do that. Ideally, you finish the mikra at the end of the makot. If he's still hitting him, he should be reading it. No hitting without reading at the same time, because otherwise it's some brutal punishment. This way, it's got some sort of a meaning, and hopefully pushing him to tshuva. Tanu Rabbanan, makaraba, the pasuk says, don't hit him makaraba, ein li ela makaraba. All I know is that I have to be careful when I'm giving him the full amount. Makam uetet minayin, how do I know I have to be careful even if I'm giving him, if they said he can get 9? Tanu lo yosif, because the Torah says, do not add on. Same came out of makar abba. So why does it say makar abba then? In other words, just say makar. The metal is chain makar abba. It shows you that the first set is going to be makar abba. Then if you add on to that, because he's getting extra, so then pen yosif. But pen yosif applies in any case. Okay, nit kalkel. We said that if he lost it, literally, he defecated, urinated, and then we have the machloket of Yunus Chachamim about whether urinating is enough for anybody to be sufficiently disgraced as to be potter. Tanabana, chada ish v'chada isha b'rei v'lob mayim. Divra mera. Mera is more machmer, and he says, only defecation. Men or women. If you don't mer, because what happens to the body? It gets traumatized and embarrassed and everything, so they lose their sphincter. Sphincter releases. If you don't mer, ish b'rei v'isha b'mayim, like the Mishnah. Chamomim v'chada ish v'chada isha b'rei v'mayim, like the Mishnah. So the only thing added here is Rameir's opinion. But here we have a bright door. Rabbi Yehuda says, both men and women berei, and Rabbi Yehuda had said women b'mayim. So what does that mean? What that means is, Rabbi Yehuda says, both men and women, as far as defecating goes, that's enough. Women also have urinating. Amar Shmuel, kaftu v'ratzim beitin. Let's say that they tied him down and he ran away. Patur, because he's already been disgraced enough. Meitave, we have a challenge. Kala, if he lost it, defecated. Bein Brishna ben Mishniya, whether it's when the first time they're whipping him or the second one, Potrino, so he's exempt. But Nifsaka Ritsua, let's say they had tied him down, about to give it to him, and then the whip broke. Bashniya Potrino, if he'd already gotten whipped once, then he's exempt. Mishonain Potrino, but if he hadn't gotten whipped yet, he still has to be whipped, so we fix the whip. Amayla Havikaratz, why don't we just treat that like somebody running away? In other words, the assumption here is, once you've tied him down, the process has already begun. If the process gets interrupted for any reason, either because he loses it or he runs away or something breaks, that should be it. The answer is no. Hatam ratz, hachal lo ratz. In that case, he ran away. Running away is the disgrace. And that itself is enough of a disgrace. Here he didn't run away. They've tied him down. The thing broke. He didn't get any makot. No reason not to continue. Tanar bonin. Amdu lich shiyilke yikle. If they made an estimation that said, as soon as he gets whipped, he's probably going to lose it. He's going to defecate. Potrinoto, then he's exempt. But if they estimate somehow, I don't know how they would know this, that he's going to get whipped, and the minute he lives beitin, he's probably going to lose it. Malkinoto, he's still giving them makot. Even if he came in and he urinated right there in the beitin before he started, he got so scared. Malkinoto, he's still giving them makot. Meaning it has to be that the disgrace is the result of him getting whipped. Not that he already disgraced himself before he started, or that they assumed that when he left Beitin he would. It has to be as a direct result right there in Beitin. Okay, we'll hold it off here and go to the final podcast in our study of Masechet Makot. But in the meantime, wish everybody a wonderful day.